This is Talking Clean with Irene, a podcast for anyone like me who wants to kick the toxins out of their life and live a more natural and sustainable lifestyle. Join me as I unpack how to live toxin-free with insights from scientists, doctors, the creators behind those beautiful organic brands we love, and other experts. I'm your host, Irene Falcone. Now, we've all heard about raw food. Just saying that makes me think of delicious raw vegan cheesecake. But have you actually heard of raw skincare? Well, today I'm talking to Dr. Arcatus. Dr. A actually created this amazing brand way back in 1996 after his wife asked him about some of the ingredients on the labels of her skincare products. Now, Dr. Arcatus is a chemist, a research scientist, and a molecular biologist. So he could immediately tell that none of these products that she was using were clean or even close to being organic. So he decided to make his wife some skincare products all by himself. Isn't that a wonderful story? In this episode, we'll talk about what makes this brand actually raw, what makes it so special, and whether we really shouldn't be putting anything on our skin that we can't eat. Hi, Dr. Arcatus. Thank you so much for coming on my podcast.
It's my pleasure.
How I discovered your brand is actually through one of the Victoria's Secret supermodels at the time. I can't even remember her name now. You seem to have a massive celebrity following, but you don't seem to really capitalize on that. Would that be fair to say?
I would probably say it's fair to say. And I'm sure the celebrities appreciate it.
Which celebrities that we know of in Australia use your beautiful range of skincare?
I can tell you Gisele Bündchen used to use it. I'm not quite sure if she's still very enthralled with it.
You know what's interesting? I've read that she's used it, and I also read that Miranda Kerr used it as well. And both of those women have gone on to create their own range of skincare, interestingly enough. Are you able to tell me, when did your range launch?
I launched it in Holland towards the end of the 1990s and then moved back to the United States and officially launched Dr. Arcatus. In Holland, I had a different name for the products, but I formulated them in Holland.
Wow, back in the 90s when nobody was really even thinking about natural and organic products.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, so can you tell me about your background and why you ended up creating this beautiful brand?
My background is really in the hard sciences. I'm also a chemical engineer. So I have also a PhD in physical chemistry, but I've done molecular biology. I've done virology. I've studied, ethnopharmacology, also pharmacognosy. So,
I'm
overeducated.
You are at the epitome of green science, I would say, when it comes to the organic technology and botanicals behind your range. But which qualification is it that you think gave you the most learnings?
Actually, I kind of like got into something which I can use all my background completely. Every bit of it is used. In other words, I can do everything in this business from A through Z. So I can formulate, and I can also make my own extracts. I develop methods of making extracts. I also develop and structure my own manufacturing procedures. So I'm in kind of like a rather unique position in this industry in that I'm actually capable of doing everything from the beginning to the end. Well, my wife used to ask me, bring home, cosmetic and ask me what I thought of it. I'd look at the ingredients and I say, well, I wouldn't put it on my skin. And I kind of was always interested in skin, as far as, physiology, as skin, because I was considered it as our most social of organs, because we all interact with the body, with the person through skin. And so one day I told her, I said, okay, I'll make you something that your skin will be very happy with. And this was all in Holland 5 years later. I came up with the core line for her. And that's kind of the way it started. But you see, my focus, again, how I started, I you know, everyone talks about beauty, beauty, beauty. Well, beauty is a function of time and place. Okay, it changes. It's by definition, it's in or it's out. You know, in certain cultures, what's beautiful, other cultures, it's not beautiful. Certain times in that culture, what is beautiful, then later on, other times, it's not beautiful. It changes with taste. Beauty is a matter of taste. And so I'm not dealing in tastes. I don't adjust things for taste. I deal in health. I focus on, in other words, I focused on the skin as a living organism, not as a combination of symptoms, you know, like a machine, the way we look at living things, we break them down into symptoms, into pieces. I looked at it as a complete living organism, and I wanted to make a product which helped bring that organism into homeostasis or into an ideal balance, and at the same time to maintain that balance. And so then I also took into account two very fundamental aspects, okay, of a living organism. One is if you feed a living organism healthy, living food, living. And the thing is, the focus here is on living. It's going to be healthy. It's going to radiate health. And if it radiates health, then it's attractive. See, I deal in attraction, basically. I don't deal in beauty. Health as a universal attractor is hardwired into the whole biological sphere. In other words, health is the primordial attractor. So, and the second aspect is the nature of skin, which society has a tendency to ignore even today, which is that it's a two-way street. Whatever you put on your skin is absorbed into your body. Essentially, it's not a question of does it get absorbed? It's purely a question of how fast does it get absorbed or how slowly. So what you're putting on your skin, you're essentially eating. In fact, you're even bypassing eating because it goes directly into your bloodstream, okay? And it becomes systemic, meaning it spreads throughout the whole body. And there are many, many case, you know, examples of this. There are whole herbal medical therapy systems that are based on hand baths, foot baths, and sitz baths. Sitz baths work. You can crush a garlic clove with your heel, bare, you know, your skin, your bare heel, and you'll smell it coming out of your mouth, you know, a few minutes later.
You are the second person that has told me that. And I had no idea. Isn't that proof? For anybody that thinks, oh no, parabens and all these harsh chemicals, they're fine. They don't get into the body. They just go onto your skin. This is proof that it does.
It doesn't disappear in some kind of limbo, you know. It goes in systemically into the body. You're literally, you are eating it, except here you bypass the digestive system and therefore the liver. So you're mainlining into your bloodstream. Wow. So you have to take that into consideration. Okay, so I take that very fully into consideration. And so I adjust everything accordingly. This is the basis of how I approach things. Okay, so therefore I work with whole plants, not isolated ingredients from a plant, what we call active ingredients. What we do is we take a biological system, we take something which is a holistic system, biologically holistic. We're parasites, face it. Okay, we do not create our own food. We have to eat food. We eat food and our bodies are made to eat living food. In other words, if it's dead and machine-made food is basically dead, it's good for machines. It's not good for a living body. And the healthier the sources are, the better it is for you. I approach herbs the same way, and so that's why I develop methods for extracting them, the whole plant, not a piece of the plant. In other words, when I take like what we call active ingredients out of a plant, you've lost this personality. It's like taking a word and just extracting a letter and saying, that's it. Well, what have you lost? Or you take a piece of music and you extract one note. How much personality have you lost, you know?
Extracting, for example, just the vitamin A or just the vitamin C from something and popping it in a bottle with fillers.
Yeah, because it modulates all these things. You know, there might be certain main ingredients, but you have a personality. These main ingredients within different plants behave differently because they're different personalities. They modulate differently. So it's like you're dealing with living systems. And so you have a living system with your skin. I applied a living system to it. Now, that's what an adaptogen does. It helps bring a living system into balance, and it would also maintain that balance. And it does things bidirectionally, multidirectionally. For instance, like the same herb, if you have low blood pressure, it will raise the blood pressure. The same herb, if you have high blood pressure, that same herb, and ginseng is one, will lower the blood pressure. So it's not a single thing. It's a community, okay? It's an interaction of two living things. Your body knows what it needs, and the herb knows what it gives. The body takes what it needs from the herb, and everything is mutually balanced out. If you wanted to think about it, like homeostasis, the basis, okay? Our bodies are on a unidirectional timeline. In other words, time is a one-way street. We don't have a choice about getting old or dying. We have no choice on that. What we do have a choice is how we grow old. Okay, that is completely in our hands. But getting old, that's out of our hands. The minute you're born, you are on a one-way street with your body until it dies. When you look at a living thing, the underlying part of it, which we all deal with, like the chemistry, the molecules, and everything else, these are all mechanical aspects of it. It's the relationship of the mechanical aspects that give it meaning, and that we don't talk about because we don't have a language for it. For instance, a perfect example is what we create ourselves is language, words, how we write them down. Okay, we have letters. We have an alphabet. We have letters. You take one letter, and doesn't have meaning. You put them together into word, then that has meaning. Okay, now you put words into sentences, into paragraphs, into novels, you know, and it's the relationship between the words, between the letters that give it meaning, not the letters themselves. In music is the same way, chords. It's the relationship between the tones and not the tones themselves. So this is the same way when I'm talking about, you know, giving something which is a holistic food, you know, to the skin, is something that in a sense is a living thing that interacts with another living thing.
So can you then put it more into the difference between your range of skincare and I guess a regular range of skincare, just a regular range of everyday natural skincare, what the difference is between yours being alive, right, and another range sort of being not alive, and how you have the whole plant and all the bits and pieces that go with it versus just extracting a vitamin A and putting it in a bottle? Are you able to explain the difference?
Well, okay. I must also get into a little bit of what kind of industry we're all involved in. I always considered like the skincare cosmetic industry as the first virtual industry because products weren't sold. Marketing ideas were sold. Okay. Mm-hmm. Promises were sold. You're buying an idea. You're not buying a product. And that's why externals are the most important in this industry, not what's in a bottle. All the attractive stuff, that's really where all the effort comes in. The least amount of effort always came in what's in the bottle, especially modern times. My major effort is put into what goes into the bottle because that's what gives the results. I'm interested in results. I'm not interested in promises. Then it became in to get clean, okay? So we have marketing of skincare products, cosmetic products, and, you know, part of the marketing strategy is what they don't have. So, you know, what you read about it, we don't have alcohol, we don't have this. Well, whatever the bad ingredient is at that moment, they don't have, and that's the selling point. Well, very few skincare products are made by an individual, by the person whose name is on the product. Pretty much they're created by a committee, by chemists, by this, you know, by a contract manufacturer, and they just put their names on it. So they put in things, you know, they put in more things that are cleaner, but how they're put together is still the same way as the old cosmetics were put together. It's a trend, and so everyone follows the trend. So with this trend of clean cosmetics now, we have the growth of the clean contract manufacturers who will do everything for you again. They will formulate the products. They will manufacture them for you. They will get the packaging, fill them in. All you have to do is put your name on it, buy it from them, and marketing and selling it is completely up to you. But this is the nature of this industry. The first thing you want as a commercial manufacturer is you want a clean base. In other words, you want your raw materials to have no smell, no color, nothing, to be completely neutral so that you can add the color, you can add the smell, you can add everything so that it's predictable. It'll be the same every single time you make it. So The only way you can do that is by killing the ingredients. You make all your ingredients start off as dead. And then you add things to make it, and then it's predictable. So it's the same all the time, stamped out. Now, if you're dealing with living things, as you well know, with wines from a different region, every year things change. That's why you have vintages. One year is not the same as the other year. Things change. In nature, things change, and living things adapt to this change, and so you have different things coming out. Same thing with plants, depending on where it was grown, what season it was picked, you know, whether it was came from a farm, what kind of farm it came, was it organic, was it biodynamic, was it done properly? It's not just because you have a label on it, but do the people who are doing it really know what they're doing? And so, you know, I mean, all these things come into play. And so when you're dealing with really living things, you never get the same thing twice. There's always differences.
So in your skincare line, is one cream from one batch going to be different to the cream from another batch, but they still work the same?
Oh, yes. There are differences. They're not fundamental differences, but within a range, there will always be differences.
So under a microscope, for example, if you were to take your cream under a microscope from one batch to another batch, you might see differences in the plant cells or whatever, as opposed to another range, another company that would be exactly the same.
Well, it's just like a chef, okay, a gourmet chef. A necessary condition is excellent raw materials. You can't make a gourmet meal with lousy raw materials. Your ingredients have to be top-notch. Here, it has to be brimming with health. And you can always screw it up. You can always, you know, damage it. In other words, how you extract will also affect what the end result will be. How you manufacture. In other words, if you make a compromise throughout any of the process, you'll fundamentally compromise the end product. This is a system which does not lend itself very well to compromises. There's this cloud out there that's always beckoning you to compromise because it makes it easier. You can add this to it, and then you will get the organic leptic properties that you want very easily. Or you can heat this, or you can do this to it. But the point is, when you do that, you compromise the integrity of the whole.
Are you able to tell me how you're able to take the plant and all the goodness and pop it in a bottle and somehow keep that alive?
Most of the things, you dry it. And how it's dried, is it force dried? Is it gently dried? And then how is it extracted? Certain plants we require extracting oil. Other plants require, because there are parts of the plant that are soluble in water, parts of the plant that are soluble in oil, and everything in between. So what you want is the whole spectrum, and, you know, to maximize the spectrum of what you get. In other words, between these plants, there are synergies that occur. So, you know, I mean, in wine making too, they understand when they blend, you know, it's a little more difficult. They blend individual casks to get, you know, the blended wine, a blend. And then there is the casks that come out very, but the proper way to really do it properly would be to blend the grapes before you ferment them, and you ferment the whole blend, and then you get that blended wine at the end. You know, only at the last step. You ferment everything together because there are synergies that occur from the combination between these plants. So anyway, all these things I take into account. They're all hidden. I never talk about them because, you know, it's just a whole, you know, people basically will say it's a bunch of nonsense. They don't understand, or some people will understand, but that's a small, you know, a small group does understand this.
That's wonderful to cover some of the science off behind your brand and why it was created. Something I love about your brand is it's really simple. There's not like 100 different products in there, so it's easy for everybody to jump into. Are you able to just talk me through the skincare line and each of the products, just starting with the cleanser?
Yes. The cleanser I make my own soap base, and I basically gear it towards a pH of about 8, 7.5, 8. People don't really understand pH because it's a concept. It's a number. And when someone says, oh my God, you know, this, it's, you know, if it's basic, it's going to destroy the acid balance of the skin, you know, it's so delicate. Well, that's not really true. The acid balance is a very surface phenomenon. When you go 1/100 of a millimeter down into the skin, don't forget the pH, the internal pH of your body is about 7.2, 7.1. The trick here is for it to clean what it needs to be cleaned, but leaves behind what needs to be left behind. In other words, you don't want it to strip everything. And I find that a soap made from whole plant oils, and I'm talking about cold-pressed plant oils, properly made is about the best cleansing agent that I've seen. This is what I do with the soap base, and then I make it into a cosmetic, basically, by adding oils. And what you're getting actually with the cleanser, you're washing with soap, very gently, mildly, but you're also washing with oil. It's an oil cleanser and a soap cleanser built into one.
Wow, okay. And then talk to me about your toner, because that's won a couple of awards here in Australia. It's it feels very astringent. You can tell it's doing the job, but it's not stripping the skin. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. It gets absorbed. Actually, everything gets absorbed rather rapidly. It acts as an astringent. It acts as a skin balancer. It's meant to be absorbed. It's not meant to wash off the soap. A lot of people use a toner, you know, to actually wash off the remnants of the soap, whatever they use to wash your skin with.
So what's the difference then between your day cream and your night cream?
Well, the night cream is a little richer. It has a little different mix of herbs in it, and it has it's got a different mix of essential oils.
Okay, wonderful. And then just talk to me finally about your treatment oil, because that is another beautiful product. And do you use that as a serum underneath your cream?
It's a universally applicable oil. It's very good for sun, but I don't recommend you put it on and treat it like as a sun cream. I mean, as a sunblock. It could be used as a serum. It could be used as a treatment oil, be on the face, on the body. It's basically a universal serum.
Wow. You are absolutely the most fascinating man. Thank you so, so much for coming on and talking to us about that.
Irene, thank you very much, because I've noticed what you were doing from the beginning, and I always liked how you handled the products and what you were doing. I always thought you did a very, very good job with them.
Thank you so much again for coming on. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is produced by Nourished Life, Australia's home of toxin-free shopping. To learn more and get all the show notes, visit us at nourishedlife.com.au. If you have any feedback about the show, you can reach me on Facebook or Instagram at Nourished Life, which is all one word. Don't forget to subscribe to Talking Clean with Irene in your podcast app. And finally, if you like what you hear, please give me a 5-star review. It really helps other people to find the show. I'm your host, Irene Falcone, and I'll speak to you next time.